The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we honor you. We honor you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for such an awesome moment we're having. We're grateful to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the assurances you gave many people just in this past few minutes. Thank you for the comfort you gave many. Thank you for even the privilege to just worship you. Grateful to you this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for a new month. Thank you for the month of November. Thank you for even the past months that you've been faithful. We're grateful to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the words you've spoken to us that we've seen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the words spoken to us this month. We know it will get better. We know we are having better things. We're grateful to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Shout a loud amen.
Amen.
That's not how to shout. Shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Are you excited this morning? Do you have a friend you've not seen this month? Somebody you've not seen this month? The month started yesterday. So it means the person, either you or the person come for prayer drive. One of you say, friend, you've not seen this month. Look for the person and say hi to the person this morning. Or maybe a friend you've not seen at all. Somebody you've not seen before. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Let's have our seats. Amen. Help us of your joy. That's our topic this morning, and we've been looking at that for a couple of weeks now, right? How that God, in His infinite wisdom, positions certain people our way, on our way, to ensure that we grow spiritually. One of the greatest things the Lord will do for you in life is to know and to recognize the men He has sent your way. I took time last Sunday to show us how that man is God's method. And that statement is so true. It's so true. Man is everything that God wants to do. Man is how God does whatever He wants to do. In fact, some of you already know, but let me just mention it. If God wants to collect something, wants to take something from you, He will take it through a man. Do you understand? That's why I'm going to say we are giving to God. If you say you are giving to God, they're going to give it to a man. So man is God's channel of receiving. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you say, I'm giving myself to the Lord, what you're actually saying in essence is that you're giving yourself to men. Because now I've given myself to the Lord to do ministry. But what am I doing in the ministry? I'm serving you. I'm preaching to you. I'm ministering to you. So it is through you, for instance, that I serve God. So I'm serving God through you. Are you getting the point? The choristers are serving the Lord. But how are they serving the Lord? By serving us. Are you following me? So it is through man that we serve God. So whatever God will do or He wants to do, He will use men to do. And that's why anyone that doesn't understand or doesn't honor or respect or have value for human vessels, you don't actually know God. Because if you know God, you know that's how He works, that's how He operates. So on Sunday and on Thursday, we're looking at the pastoral ministry. But today I want to talk about something else. Another set of people in our lives that God positions in our lives to make sure that we get stronger in our walk with God. To make sure we don't get weak. You see this one I want to talk about? This is the reason why many people start in their Christian journey and stop. This is why many people have an inconsistent Christian walk. Are you following me? Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible said, I'm being let go. Because the background of this story was that they were beaten, they were persecuted. Beaten for preaching. That's Peter and John. Because they healed someone that was crippled. The people got angry and began to persecute them, the high priest. And right, so when they persecuted them and threatened them, warned them never to preach again. And then, of course, they showed strength. They said they were going to preach, they were never going to stop. Bible said, when they were let go from that place, they went to their own company. So the people I'm talking about this morning are people I call your own company. You need your own company. A company of friends, let me use that word, around you. If you are going to grow spiritually and be a solid Christian, there are certain kind of friends you need around you. There's a certain kind of company you need around you that will ensure that you grow. So what I'm trying to show in this series so far is that the idea of spiritual growth has a lot to do with the men you interact with. For instance, if you have a bad pastor or you don't have a pastor at all, you cannot grow spiritually. We'll look at that on Sunday and on Thursday. Now I'm telling you that if you have the wrong set of friends, if you have the wrong company around you, the chances are you cannot grow. Even if you start, you will not continue growing. And I can tell you from experience and from God's word, even if you begin growing, you will not continue. Because your spiritual growth and longevity in that growth is highly dependent on people who are around you. So these guys were threatened. And they returned to their own company. And I was looking at that word, company, in the Greek. And interestingly, it's the Greek word, idios, idios. You know what it means? It means your own. They went back to their own. Do you get the point? The company was added by the King James translators. They went back to their own. So you must have your own. Are you following me? You must have your own set of friends. You must have. So it's not like they went back to any Christian they saw on the street and began to complain to the Christian. No. They had their own. So at this time, let me give you a background. At this time, the early church, they were already very big. How do you know that? In Acts chapter 3, Peter had preached and 3,000 had gotten saved. Do you remember that? So, 120 in the upper room, and now 3,000 had gotten saved. So, this is a church of at least 3,120 people. Are you following what I'm saying now? At least. With people that were about to say, people are added to them daily. So you could be estimating a church of up to 4,000 to 5,000. So when the Bible said they went back to their own, it doesn't mean they returned to the entire church. They couldn't have returned to the entire 5,000. It's just that out of the 5,000 people that were in church, they had their own company. Are you getting what I'm saying? They had their own set of friends. So it's not like they came to a church service and announced, "Hello guys, everybody, they persecuted us." No, they went to their company. The chances are, in the church of 3,000 to 5,000, not everybody will know everybody. Are you following me, friends? That's a chance. But you must have your company, your friends, your circle. So when they were persecuted, they knew where to go to. And that was why they were able to continue ministry. Hallelujah. The word idios of consent is pertaining to self, that is one's own. By implication, private, separate, his acquaintance, being alone, being apart, that's idios. So when you say you go to your company, it means you must have your own idios. Are you following me, friend? Your own circle, your own company. And the quality of men in that company will determine whether you will grow spiritually or not. And let me even say, it will determine whether you will keep growing or not. Because many of us, by the end of this service, if you are really paying attention, you will find out why you've been having this on and off spiritual growth. Today you're on fire, tomorrow you are on water. Or nothing at all. Today you make up your mind, I'm going to be serious with God now. I will start praying every day. From now, is now Jesus forever. Then next tomorrow, you don't even understand yourself again. It is this secret. They went to their company. It's what followed me this morning. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. He said, iron sharpened iron. So a man sharpened the countenance of his face. Give me other translations. Like NLT. NLT, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Well, you know, one of the things that came to me when I read this verse one time, I said, iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. In other words, the two friends must be iron. Abby? Because if one friend is iron, and the other friend is plastic, iron will break plastic. So they have to be made of the same thing to be able to sharpen each other. And that's the truth. Imagine one friend is iron, maybe machete. The other friend is wood. The wood will cut the machete. I mean, the machete will cut the wood. Something will cut something. So in other words, people must be of the same sort to be able to help each other. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 9, it says two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But it didn't stop there. People use this scripture to do marriage. But it's not only about marriage. We went on to say, marriage is there, but it's not only that. He said, if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. He said, but woe to him that is alone, when he falleth. Now, look at that. He didn't say if he falleth. He said when. That tells that in your Christian journey, there must be that moment. Not as if, it's not if, there must be. Are you following what I'm saying? But you are in trouble if you're alone. And that's why many of you don't stand strong in your walk. It's not because you are too weak. Are you following me? It's not because there is something happening to you that doesn't happen to another person. Sometimes because you're alone. Because he said when he falls. He didn't say if. When. In other words, of a certainty, there will be a time he will experience setbacks. Are you following me now? Are you following me this morning? There will be a time. It's not if, it is when. When he falls, he had not another to help him up if you're alone. And so I'm saying, if you don't have a solid company around you, company of irons that will sharpen you, the day you experience your setback, let me tell you, if we all begin to tell our Christian story, you will find out that we all have a similar story. We all have similar stories. The things you think you've suffered, you've passed through, everybody has passed through it in one way or the other. Some we are just able to bounce back because they put some things in place. Are you following me? That thing that happened to you, your prayer life disappeared, has happened to others and are still standing. Are still standing. Maybe towards the end of this series, I may show you a few things. Yes, I will do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to show you why you need this. Why you need friends, pastors, all of that. Because there is something you meet on your journey of your Christian faith. That, you know what that thing is called? Life. You know life. You meet life on your way. Life at different levels. And life happens to everybody. Are you following me? I didn't say devil, life. When one of them is, for instance, when you start changing levels in life, you change from being a student to now being independent. Life is happening. Everything in your account is 35,000. And you need to rent a house and set up the house. Life is up. It's not like you are special. It's not like the devil came for you specially. It happens to everybody. Everybody has had that experience at one time or the other. But there is a system that was around them that's not around you. Are you following me?
Yes.
So when he falleth, give me the next verse. Verse 11, it said, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Then verse 12, it now said, If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Come on, I like that. In other words, if one person fights you and win you, when you guys become two, you win the person. So there are issues in your life that has debilitated, not because you are weak, but because you don't have a partner. And I'm not talking about marriage. Well, marriage is not excluded from this, because I'll talk about it too. Because one of the company you must make sure you get right in your life is your marriage. But I'm coming to that. Are you following me, friends? Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT. He said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. He said, three are even better. So I'm not talking about you just having one friend. He said, three-breaded cock cannot be broken. And it's true. I'm not saying bosom friends here. I said, you must have a company of friends around you. Some of them may not be my best friend, my tight friend, but you must have a strong company around you. Are you following me? So some questions I'm going to ask you, for instance, if I ask you to name your 3, 4, 5 strong, closest company, if we analyze your 5 closest company, you know, all of that, we can see why your spiritual life is going where, how it's going. Are you following me? Maybe you can run that in your head. You will find out why you've been consistent all the while, or why you've been inconsistent. Amen. So, the company of friends around you are helpers of your joy. And then, the truth is, if you get it wrong, they will not help your joy. What will they do? They will kill, steal, and destroy your joy. See, even the small spiritual fire you gathered, they will kill it. That's why it's a simple fact that if you're a believer and you want to take others seriously, there are people that cannot be your inner circle. It's not possible. They can't even, in fact, there are people that cannot even be your circle at all. I don't know what a Christian sister, a Christian brother is doing with someone who is not serious with his spiritual life. I don't know what. There is no future, not for the relationship, for you in that relationship. Because even if both of you end up getting married, it's even worse. So let me explain this for you. I'll give like 6 kind of people you need around you. 6 kind of people that must be in your company. That must be there. Or 6 things rather you look for in people that must be in your company. Let's put it that way. 6 things you look for in people that must be in your company if you're going to be a growing believer. Number one. It must be a company of growing believers. Growing believers. Now, I didn't say a company of perfect people, but a company of believers who are deliberately, consciously growing. A company of growing believers. Believers who are growing, who are getting better, that are going to church, that are working. You know, Paul was speaking to them in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. You know, and he said, I wrote unto you in an epistle. Watch this, oh. But I didn't say you must have just believers. I said growing believers. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. He said, if someone is a fornicator. Now, he didn't say if somebody fornicates. Somebody is a fornicator. Sorry, he didn't say if somebody fornicated. He said, somebody is a fornicator. Somebody is back to back into fornication. He said, don't company with them. Now, look at what he says. Continue. He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. He said, I'm not just talking about fornicators who are in the world, or covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. Because he said, if I say that, you need to leave this world entirely. But look at verse 11. He said, but now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous. So if somebody is a brother in Christ and is freely, openly living in sin and does not care, he said, with such a person, don't even eat. I know what I'm saying now. You can't keep such people in your circle. He said, but they are born again. He has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. That's not enough. So, we are not calling for perfection, or sinless perfection rather. What we are insisting is that the person must be someone that is growing, making an investment to his spiritual life, who has a struggle and is trying to break out of it. Not the one trying to pull you into it. Are you following me, friends? He says if someone is a fornicator, he's a brother, but he's a fornicator, he's covetous. Covetous means he likes money. He can do anything to get money. But he's a believer, but he can do anything to get money. He's an idolater. So he's a believer. But then, but if the thing red, he can visit one or two people, a native doctor. He can, you know, to go and collect one or two things. It's not like the person is even a native doctor like that. It's just that they used to use salt and ash and sand to pray. And blood of pigeon. It's not like serious native doctor like that. Now, you have that, you have said an idolater. He said a railer. A drunkard. Somebody say drunkard. Shout it. What's drunkard in your dialect? What is drunkard in your dialect? If in your closest circle, you have people who are so given to wine. Who drink. You can't be a serious Christian, no? I just say, let me tell you. You can't be. The fact is this. I don't think anybody. Now, this is what I think. I don't think there's anybody that will have a very serious, solid walk with the Holy Ghost. Praying every day, studying his Bible every day, and every day he drinks. There's nobody like that. You can't mix both. How do you know that? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. So the but says they contrast each other. If you are always drunk with wine, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you are, I get what I'm saying now. I'll tell you for free. And let me even tell you why God doesn't encourage us to take alcohol. It is because alcohol tends to do or to counterfeit what the Holy Ghost wants to do in you. The Holy Ghost wants to intoxicate you, wants to take over you. Alcohol wants to do the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you drink, you get high, you get intoxicated, you begin to talk in a certain way, you begin to act in a certain way. That same thing the Holy Ghost will. Don't you know if you pray and get high in the Holy Ghost, you find yourself laughing? Does that happen to you? Uncontrollably, or dancing. That same thing alcohol will do. That was why when they got on the day of Pentecost, they said they were drunk because they were acting like drunk men. Are you following me? Now, I am not saying that if there is a brother struggling, maybe the person before he got born again, he has been a drinker or a drunkard. But he's not born again and he's trying to get out of it. I'm not saying you should discard the person. But if there is a brother who is a drunkard and doesn't care, doesn't even want to stop it, he's even justifying it, you can't keep that person in your circle. He's not a growing person. I'm telling you for free. He's not a growing person. Now, I have a few people I know. When I met them here, they were into it. And I knew. I didn't discard them because I know kids. They were into it. Because, you know, we all had a life before we came to Jesus. Is that true? We all had a life before Jesus found us. That's why even though we insist on right living, we must give people that chance and opportunity to change and readjust themselves. Are you following me? We must. So I'm not saying if somebody around you say, person drinks, say, whenever I talk again. But the person must know that it is wrong and must be making an effort to break out of it. Are you following what I'm saying? I know your theology about, let me tell you, I have a teaching on food and what we eat. Is that what you call it, Abby? The believer and what he eats. And I explained alcohol there. In fact, if you listen to that teaching, you might start drinking alcohol. Because I came from a theological perspective to show where the Bible stands on alcohol. That's if you listen to the first 30 minutes of that teaching, only 30 minutes or first or 5 minutes, you just carry a bottle. But if you finish it, you will see what I'm saying. What was I saying in that teaching? There is actually nowhere, actually, that the Bible says you should not drink. Are you aware? Eh? There's nowhere. Now, there are places we are counseled against drinking and over-drinking. Things like give wine to the fool. Let him drink and perish. Right? Things like, it's not for kings to drink wine. Are you following me? But the truth of the matter remains that food doesn't commend us to God or condemn us before him. That's what the Bible says. So, it's not as though if you drink, God is going to send you to hell. But I'm saying, there are a few reasons in the Bible we see that we shouldn't be given to wine. There are a few reasons. For instance, it's not for kings to drink. Why is that? Because kings are people who make decisions that affect other people. Now, if they're given to wine, they will act under the effect of that drink. Imagine I drink too much. I'm a drunkard. Imagine I'm a drunkard. Maybe I've taken like 4 bottles or 5. And you now call me that I have a problem. Now, imagine that. Say, good evening, Dad. I say, good evening, my daughter. How are you doing? Say, Dad, I have this problem. I say, he's settled. And then I will give, say, I need counsel on what I should do. I say, don't do anything. And you take it. Because you don't even know. So because of the position of leadership that God has given me, it will be unfair, not to myself, now, to you. I get what I'm saying now. For me to be given to wine, it will be unfair. That's why almost everywhere in the New Testament that the qualification for leadership was discussed. 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy Titus 2, you always see not giving to wine. Every time Bible talks about either a bishop or a deacon, you must say not giving to wine. Because you make decisions for others. Imagine I'm ordering the effect of alcohol as I'm talking to you. Just imagine. I just drink and high. I'm just saying, hey, he really does what he said he would. I even think the Holy Ghost is moving. Glory to God. Now, I've seen these things, so, especially not among preachers. I've seen it mostly among singers. Gospel artists, in quotes. Where they get very high, even on drugs, before they come to sing. When they carry mic, you just know. Something has entered this place. Not the Holy Ghost. Because those two cannot work. You can't be full of the Spirit and full of alcohol. Because alcohol tends to. I didn't say the Holy Ghost don't live in you. I said you can't be full of the Spirit. You know what I mean by that? You can't flow in the Spirit and freely express yourself in the Spirit if you're full of alcohol. Because the same thing the Holy Ghost is trying to do, alcohol is trying to do it. Glory to God. So what led us to that? Not giving to wine. That's a drunkard. It also mentioned an extortioner. You have someone in your circle who is an extortioner, who extorts people for a living, cheats people in his business, manipulates figures, and doesn't care, he's even gisting you. And you have them in your circle. That's a non-growing believer. That person cannot help you get better. Shouldn't be your company. He said, with such an one, don't eat. Eh? Don't even eat. What it means is there should be no sex. You know what Paul was teaching here? He was teaching the fact that if you give this attitude towards a believer, if all of us in church see a believer living in sin and frown at him like that, he will change. Well, that's the message of this 1 Corinthians 5. Let me even say, if your brother is living in sin and you keep him close, and keep flowing with him, you are endorsing and encouraging that thing he's doing. Yes. Because by your frowning at him, it will make him to have a rethink. I feel what I'm saying now. Imagine someone is an usher or in the choir. Or, you know, any of the departments. And then we are coming to church on Sunday, on Saturday night. We see him maybe after the hazard. As you are going home, person just stops off at a junction and say, I have work. And then stands there, changes her clothes and begins to sell her body. And we are all aware. And then on Sunday, she comes to church on Sunday. She still carries mic and sings. And we all know, and we all don't do anything. You know what we are doing? We are endorsing that thing. But if she comes on Sunday and we say, ah, sister, you can't sing today. Say, why? We saw you. And then her friends begin to say, why are you guys running from me? Say, we're not running from just addicted, your current lifestyle. We don't understand it. She will have everything. But because we are all into mental health and awareness, we don't want to hurt anybody. He say, he's, even though he's living in that kind of life, we have to stick close. You don't abandon, but the problem is that if you keep such people who are not growing and they don't care about it in your circle, you know, there's something about your friend did something bad. He said, what were you with that girl? And he says, nah, thank you for calling me out on this. I don't even know what came over me. That's the person, I get what I'm saying, that wants to grow. Not, why were we with that girl? He said, nah, that girl's sweet. Imagine that. You know, I say, ah, you say, ah, that girl, oh boy, she's even coming again tomorrow. Leave that one with the talk. Imagine that. Are you following me now? Now, that can be somebody in your circle. That's not a growing person. Are you following me? Not a growing believer. First Timothy 6 verse 5 gives us another example about this growing believer thing. Paul told him, he said, pervert the spirit of men of corrupt minds. Watch this. The truth of the truth. Supposing, people that suppose that gain is godliness. These are people that do anything for the money. What did he say? From such, withdraw thyself. Give me an NLT of this verse. New Living Translation. A simpler translation. See, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. I get the point. Give me Amplified Classic. Faithful version of this. Let's read together. And perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth. We imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood. He said, from such. So if there is a pastor who is just into defrauding people to make money, who comes and says, oh, the power of God is moving in my head, touch it with 1 million. I shouldn't keep the person close. Even to corrupt my own fire. I get the point. Who see ministry as a way of making money? Who can do anything to make money? They can do anything to make money. He said, withdraw yourself from them. So a non-growing believer cannot be your circle. Next, another company you need a company that will serve the Lord with you. Right? I won't say much about that. That will join you in serving the Lord. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Not a company that will encourage you to serve the Lord. I said I would serve the Lord with you. That's two different things. I see many girls who are trying to get married. And you ask them, is the guy a serious Christian? He said, no, but he told me that he will not disturb me. Anything I'm doing is fine, no. I can be going to church, he will not stop me. That's nonsense. That will not work. Because you're about to bring someone into your inner circle who is not into what you are doing. He's not growing spiritually, but promises not to stop you. What you don't realize is that the person's presence in your life is stopping you already. Just the presence. He said he's not into this ministry thing, but he will not stop me. No. Now, I'm not saying you will marry a pastor or you must keep pastors around you. But at least you should be able to keep people around you who will go to church with you, serve the Lord with you, go to evangelism with you. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So you must have a company that says to you, let us go. Are you following me, friend? That says, let us go. Let's go preach. Let's go win souls. Not a company that says, I will not disturb you. Just be doing your thing and I'll be doing my thing. Let's have mutual respect for each other. I'll have mutual respect for you, but you cannot be in my inner circle. You can't be there. I was like, when they said to me, let us go. So do you have people that say to you, let us go? You have to be in your inner circle? You have people that say to you, let us go win souls. You must serve the Lord with you. You must have church friends that serve the Lord with you. An example is Paul and Barnabas. They were close. They were friends. They served the Lord together. Even before that prophecy of Acts 13 came, they were always sitting together, doing ministry together. Many examples. You know, you see what Ruth said to Naomi. Told Naomi, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people.
I will serve your God. You must have a word that will say to you, I want to serve your God. Let us serve this God together. You must have them in your company. Without such people, you are not going to grow spiritually. You won't. You will try, but you will fail. Because even if you start, they will help put out that fire. Are you following me, friends? That's one of the things that God helped me to do early in my Christian life. To pick friends. People that will serve God with you. That at least one of you are talking. You are talking about one soul, one. They are talking about two. You guys are talking. You are serving the Lord together. Let's go preach together. We have clean up today in church. We have to go to rehearsal today. We have to, that's young people are serving the Lord. It should be your circle. Not the one you say, I have work today in church. You say, okay, go now. Go well. I do it. Don't worry. I'll cook beans before you come back. I'll cook beans. So before you come back. So just go. Don't bother about food. Before you come back, beans is waiting. Glory to God. That will serve the Lord with you. Next, you must have a company of men who have the right value system. It's related to the first one, but let me just separate it. They have the right value system. One of the people you cannot keep around there are people with a poor value system. What am I value system? You know what value system means? People are what they value. So the friends you keep around you, what is their number one on their list? What is their number two? What is their number three? Are they people that place money above everything? Are they people that place righteous living high? Are they people that place doing it right high? Are they people that place ministry high? Are they people that just, their value system is just so thwarted? So you are in a relationship with someone, you're telling the person, I don't think that we should be engaging in sexual immorality to get married. And the person is saying, hey, leave that in. We, in this 21st century, see, let me tell you, babe, we are not in the 18th century. Everybody is doing it. That's a terrible value system. Where they don't value, they don't care about what God holds there. You see, there was a man in the Bible. I don't have time. I'll just tell you the story. A man called Amnon. Do you know him? I've told the story many times. Amnon had a sister, a stepsister, as it were. You know those days, stepsisters and stepbrothers were allowed to marry themselves in Israel those days. Had a stepsister called Tamar. And he liked this Tamar girl. Liked her so much that he became sick from liking her. Like literally fell sick. So the friend visited him. And the friend said, Amnon, because Amnon was David's son. You're a prince. Why is a prince looking sick like this? He said, now this is my sister Tamar. She didn't enter my eye. Now, this is about values. If you don't have people with the right value system, do you know, since marriage was allowed then, a friend with the correct value system would have said, well, go and approach your father now and ask to marry her. Me, sir, I think that babe likes you. I get what I'm saying. But what did the friend say? The friend said, I have a way. You are going to pretend like you are sick and ask your father that you want Tamar, your sister, to come and serve you. And when she brings the food to come and serve you, you take advantage of her. And she did it. That costed him his life. He made that mistake not only because he was a bad person, but because he had friends whose value systems were wrong. Are you following what I'm saying now? So what are your value? What is number one on your list? Is it good conduct? Good character? Right living? This exam that is coming up, we need to pass it. And your friend, will your friend say, let us begin to read extra 4 hours every day? Or will your friend say, let us set formation? Value system. Are you following me? Now, funny thing is, I hear about it. I've never set formation in my life. I don't know how to set it. But there is such a thing as formation. Now, if you didn't go to school in recent times, you'll not understand what I'm information, but people I'm talking to know what I'm saying. There is 442. That's 433. Sell it in a way that you can't break that defense in any way. They know what they're doing. And the energy spent in setting formation. I saw somebody that was caught in an exam hall who scribbled pieces of paper, answers on a piece of paper. Many pieces of papers, like over 50. So I told him, I said,
Do you know it took you time to copy this thing? Why didn't you read it? The same energy. So we write on these labs. I've seen it. Write on these labs everywhere. Why didn't you just read it? They will not understand it. It will not enter. It will enter. We wrote an exam then. Yeah, you know, this guy, that exam was really, it wasn't tough, but the course was bulky. And so, you know what they did? They took their time, came to the class the night before, and wrote answers on all the desks. I'm not joking. Drew things. After they drew it, they used water to clean it. So it will not be looking new. Amen. So, when we entered the hall, we just sat down. That lecturer taking us on the course is a very old hand. So he came into the hall and saw how we were sitting so calmly. So he just laughed. He said, he speaks Igbo a lot. He said, I'm a mehuma. He left the hall. Came back after 3 minutes and said, the exam will not hold in this hall, it will hold in another hall. If you see, hey! It was when that happened that I now knew what happened. I didn't know. That Jesus, sir, please, we like this all. Value system. You must know what is high on your list. As a businessman, as a company guy, you must have, as a 9-to-5 worker, you must know what is high on your list and know the people that are in your circle. They must have the same. Because let me tell you, you are not stronger than any influence you expose yourself to. Let me give you an example. You see, this, as I'm teaching you now, you believe Pastor Henry has the right teaching, the right doctrine. If you carry yourself and take yourself to a ministry where they're not teaching right, and you know they're not teaching right, but you keep going every week, I give you 2 months. Since you begin to talk like, if you talk, you just know something has been influencing you. You are not stronger than that influence. Once, and that's in our friendships. You bring friends around, you say, they won't influence me. Ah, me, I know how to. Me, you see me, I'm not easily influenced. You are not that powerful. I know what I'm saying. If you keep friends around, the only problem is that you will live in denial. They will be influencing you. You will be denying that they're influencing you. You will not be saying, it's not like they're influencing. I just decided I would do it. How did you get to that point where you decided? They influenced you. I feel what I'm saying now. So you must have people with the right value system around you. So I'm not made a mistake about that. You know, Daniel and friends, they had the right value system. We will not defile ourselves with the king's meat. 4 of them decided. They did not decide that one person went behind to say, give me that meat, please. Just one plate. They had the right value system. Right value system. So it was easy for Daniel to stand for the Lord in Babylon. And that's what I'm going to say. Some of you that are in foreign countries, one of the things you have to do in those countries that are listening to me now is to get right friends. So if you don't have yet, even as you have, they keep close friends that you have yet. Think about technology. Because if you're going to survive in a country that is not yours or in a state where you are alone, you must have good friends. Daniel wouldn't have withstood all the pressure of Babylon, the pressure of the king, if he didn't have 3 guys that were around him. So when they say we will not fall, it was a question of we will not I. He had people that could back him up. Of course, they all made that decision individually, but then their coming together made them stronger. I feel what I'm saying now. Value system. They all agreed. They all had the same value system. So it was easy for them to make the right choice. Next, you must have friends or a company that will care about your spiritual growth. That will care about your spiritual growth. Who will look out for you? Who will ask you, have you prayed today? They were preaching in church. You are sleeping. And you've been doing that for the past 3 weeks now. That's your friend, not your pastor now. You know the thing about, let me tell you why friendship is very important. I thought I was going to say this earlier, but let me say it now because I don't know how our town will go from here. Friendships make a lot of impact in your spiritual journey. Sometimes, almost, sometimes more than what your pastor will do. Now you need a pastor, but look at what I'm saying. The reason is because your friends will always know you more than your pastor. You know it's true. Your friend, you can form for your pastor. You can't form for your friend. You know, a pastor can be coming in and just adjust. You're praying. Your friend knows you. She saw how you adjusted. He said, what's this one doing? Now, when you now go to him, he say, sis, you a drama queen, oh. The way you just adjusted in church when pastor came in, they know you. And that's why we encourage solid companies that will continue the work pastor starts in church. Now when because when I'm done teaching now, the people that will enforce this thing I taught are your friends. To a very large extent. Even your disciples, I'll talk about that on Sunday. Your mentees or mentors or maybe all of that, they will not know you because your pastor, your discipler, your instructors and mentors know you at the level you let them know you, to know you. That's why we're teaching about accountability on Thursday. Do you remember? So if you are addicted to drinking now, and I know because you allowed me to know. You told me. I feel what I'm saying now. If you are addicted to men or to women, I will only know if you tell me. Which way we encourage accountability. But you see, if you are addicted, there is a way you be close to your friends. You don't need to tell them. They will sense it. They will smell it. They may not be able to. They will say, something is off about you. Are you following me, friends? Why are you always sleeping out of your house? Every time I call you by 1 a.m., you're not at home. What's happening? First day you say, I went for vigil. They say, what vigil is that? I don't know. Which church? I'll go with you tomorrow. So you notice, if you don't have the right company, you've already stopped yourself from growing spiritually. Because even what your pastor is doing in church, there is nobody around at home that will help you make sure it happens. Are you following me, friends? So friends that will encourage your spiritual growth. Aquila and Priscilla met a friend. They were working. They were of the same craft with Paul and all of that. His name was Apollos. They met Apollos. I heard Apollos preach. Apollos was preaching the baptism of John. Bible said they brought him close and schooled him in the word of the Lord. That's friendship. And taught him. I said, sir, this one you are talking is, which one is baptism of John? You are preaching the law. Look at the truth. And that became a heavy impact that Apollos rose as a mighty minister upon the earth to the point that by the time you get to 1 Corinthians, the fight, some were saying, I am of Paul. Others were saying, I am of Apollos. He had made so much impact that they were already comparing with Apostle Paul. Because friends like Aquila and Priscilla sat him down and schooled him. You know, some friends are interested in your spiritual growth. Who wants to see that you pray? Who wants that you're in church? So who, if you're not in church, they will call you. Say, sir, or guy, what's up now? I didn't see you in church today. One of the worst things that happen to people is that as they grow higher in life, they lose friends. And that's a terrible thing. Because, you know, as they grow higher in life, they lose friends and then surround themselves with people who just answer to them and say, yes, daddy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the problem. So they grow higher. So there are people who are in seat of power who don't have any friends. They have people around them, but they don't have friends. They just have people who are either around them for selfish interests. I'm talking about real friendships in your company. If you don't have one, begin to form one now. From where? From the church. Look around you. Don't force it. Let it develop. I'm not talking about bosom friend or people that may be your intimate, that close friend. I have some reservation about best friend and intimate friend. I'm saying just have the right company around you. Have two people, three people, four people you talk to. And then when it develops to close friend or best friend, it's fine. But even if it doesn't get there, three, four people that you talk to, that will help you. I have found out there is a circle of friends in this church. There are about three. And I paid attention to three of them. There is something coming about three of them. They don't have done this. They don't even know about it till I'm saying this now. Three of them have a solid devotion life. Solid devotion. Like they don't miss the devotion for any reason. And I observed it. Three of them. I spoke to them. I observed them individually. They don't even know why they have that kind of devotion. is that circle they are in. Not some friends that care about your spiritual growth. Are you following me, friends? That care about, that will ask you, I didn't see you in church, or these days when they pray, you don't even pray again. You don't even contribute. You don't even, you know, talk about indecent dressing, for instance. I can only talk about innocent dressing to the level, that's when you wear it to church. I said, don't wear that again. But there are friends at home, you see you dress up every day. They will ask you, this slit on these clothes. Do you have such friends? Or is it people that when they say, hey, they are looking sharp, it got the heart. That's the problem. That's why you will keep, your clothes will keep going upper and upper.
Don't mind you. That English is not correct too.
I get to the point. But that's what, you know, every time I see people dress indecently and they come out, the first thing I ask myself, they don't have friends. I think they have the same kind of friends who think like them. Amen. Next is a company that will be sincere with you. Have a company that will be sincere with you. That will cheer you on when you are right and call you out when you are wrong. Don't keep companies that just clap for you. You know, talking about friends, you know, one of the things I love watching, apart from preaching, I love talent hunts. You see, all this singing competition, I love those things. And every time I watch those things, because I love talent, and later in my life, I love that. One of the things God has said to me, as God increased us financially, I'm going to set up a lot of talent discovery competitions, yes. That will just empower people. I love people that are talented, that can hone their skill. I love it. But sometimes when I watch these talent hunts, it dawns on me that we need friends in our lives. Because these some people come out as singers. And I felt that, so did you not sing to somebody? And even some of them say things like, my friends were encouraging me, I say, chai. That's the problem. You need to have friends that will tell you, babe, let me say this clearly. You're a great person. You're a great personality. Your leadership capacity is top notch. I love your interaction. You are very great. But for this singing, just leave it. Not in a discouraging way. See how I said it now? Because some of you also need to learn how to talk to friends. You don't talk to friends like they are your sons. I get the point. You don't tell a friend you will never succeed. That's not even like a, that's like an enemy. You don't talk like an enemy. See, if you sing, the way they will laugh at you, that's, don't do that. But be sincere. You're a great guy, you. I like how you see. If you had told me now you are going for a public speaking competition, I would have supported you because you are great there. For singing. Singing, leave it. Now me, they tell you, me, let me be your friend. Have such friends that will cheer you on when you are getting it right. And will call you out when you are wrong. That will observe you on the phone. That after you speak to a certain girl by 9 p.m., you speak to another girl by 10 p.m., another one by 11 p.m., they observe for like 3 weeks. I say, hey, there, brother. What's up? Is it Angelina? Abi, is it Juliana? Abi, is it Joanna? Which one? You have to choose. You have to. First, they can call you out. And that's why people don't really grow spiritually because they don't have such people around them. There are people that say, yes, baby, I got you. Do you know, if you have many friends that say the truth to people, we won't have any problem in this life. Even if your friend suffers a heartbreak, and is crying, be friendly enough to pat the person's back and encourage the person to heal. But be friendly enough to tell the person, but you see that relationship, yourself, you didn't get it right here. You know, the thing is, people, because they want to stand with their friends, they don't ever say the truth to them. I feel what I'm saying now. Yourself know that your friend did not try. He said, but if I tell her she did not try, she will not be my friend again. You don't even need that kind of friend. Now, I'm not saying you should be insensitive. For me, what I normally do when I see my daughters or sons go through that kind of thing, I won't tell them anything. I'll let them heal and encourage them and all of that. But when I feel they're getting better and stronger, I will talk about it. I'll say, do you know, I've been meaning to tell you this. You didn't get this right. You didn't get that right. You know, I have some of my people here who went through tough times. Now, one of them went through a very tough time in her relationship and marriage and all of that. And I encouraged her. But one day I was talking to her in the office and I told her, well, Yusuf, tell me, did you do everything right in that relationship? She said, no. That was the time I stopped giving that man food. And I said, that was true. I get what I'm saying now. You have to be plain. Now, have friends that can tell you. Not friends that will tell you. Anything you did is justifiable. It's understandable. Because he hurt you first. That's not good friendship. No, that's the kind of things we do today. We justify stupidity. It's that after all, the Bible said you should submit to a man when the man loves you. That's a lie. The Bible said submit to a man. He didn't say when he loves you. Submit to your husband, love your wife, are two different instructions that stand on their own. None is dependent on the other. Although one will help the other. Are you what I'm saying now? If someone loves you, is that to submit to the person? But they're not interdependent. So you must tell the truth. You must tell the truth. Your friend cheated on the husband or on the wife. And then you are used to saying, it's understandable. I won't even blame you. Because she started it. You're talking to your friend. Some of you should tell the brother, say, now, wow. This is what you are now doing. Call the person out. I get what I'm saying now. Have friends that can tell you the truth. That will cheer you on when you are getting it right. And will call you out when you are wrong. Of course, not publicly. Privately, but will call you out. Say, I encourage you, but you see, you are wrong in this matter. Not a friend that a pastor disciplines the person and he comes to complain to you. Yourself, you say, that thing pastor did. Me, self, I'm don't mind pastor. You know, he's also a human. Don't talk. That's stupid. A stupid way to be a friend. When pastor disciplines a person, your friend, or your friend comes to tell your friend, take the discipline. Yourself, you did not try. That's friendship. That's what Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 5. He was encouraging them that all of them should give the same energy to that brother that was having his father's wife. They should turn their back on. Remember that? They should give the same energy to him. That's what friends do. And they did that. They did it so much that in 2 Corinthians, Paul began to beg them to call the brother back. Because they showed that brother Pepe. Because they had to show him that, see, you are wrong. And that's true Christian friendship. Not this emotional kind of friendship we are raising to. All this, this you call mental health. I believe that is real mental health struggle. That is real mental health challenge. The day you face, there was something, I think Gosuma posted on our status one day, and I was telling her when I came to her, I said, I like what you posted. People that have mental health issues don't say it. Everybody, I'm depressed. I'm having mental health. Do you know what mental health problem is? They shout at you, say, I affected my mental health. Do you know what is mental health? May you not have what you attract, what you're attracting, no. The day you have mental health challenge, if people that have mental health breakdown, the fact that we shouted at you, say, you affected my mental health, what's wrong with you? Shout! We can't shout at children again, you correct a child, they say, you affected child's mental what? The Bible says there is foolishness in the heart of a child. It says, but with the rod of correction, you remove it. You are not wiser than the Bible. And the Bible knows that it's mental health. But there is a rod of correction. Say amen. Is it not a rod that they used to correct your head? Even this one, that he don't even have sense to, very well. Yeah, they use rod. Imagine they use the rod. Are you following me, friends? Have that people that can say, sis, you're wrong. And I'm coming to that when they correct you, self adjust. Next, a company that will stick with you in difficult moments and celebrate you in times of victory. Do I have a company of people that run away when things are bad? Or who are only around when things are bad? You know that people like that? They like you when you are down so that they can just be encouraging you. When you start doing well, they shift from you. No. A company that stays well when you are good, stays there when you are bad. That's loyalty. When things are going bad, they are there. When things are going good, they are there. When they make you pastor in church, they are still your friends. They make you minister, they are still your friends. Things go wrong for you, they are still your friends. You climb and become a political leader, they are still your friends. They stick around when things are good. You suffer a crisis in your health, they are still there. Proverbs 20 verse 6 tells us that every man will proclaim himself good. He said, but a faithful man who can find. He said, God find a faithful man, you know. He said, most people proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Faithful man. Let me tell you, one of the ways I know, I'm talking about friendship. Anytime I come to church, if someone comes around church and stays around for 1 year, one of the ways I know that this person will stay long in the will of God or not is if I look at the friends. If the person in the past 1 year or 2 years have not built solid Christian friends around, I can almost tell you that person doesn't have a strong future in his walk with God. It is always true. People can join church. Let me talk about church now. People can join church because they love the word being preached. They love the move of the Spirit. But a major percentage of why people stay in church is because they have the right friends. I can see the point. And that is the sincere truth. The entry point may be, I love the word being preached. I'm so blessed. Or I even need a healing. But then, if they have the right company, there is every chance that they will stay longer. That's why we always encourage things like, after service, don't rush home. Stay around. Build friendship. Because that's what will ensure that you become a solid person in your walk with God. So have such friends like Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan, who stuck with each other. Let me add one more thing. Have a company that will pray with you. Acts 4:23, they returned to their own company and they began to pray. You have a company of men that will pray with you. If you are down, do you have friends? Do you have anybody you can call? And the person will stand and say, okay, let's pray together. That is not your pastor. Because you know the problem with this that I'm teaching? Many people are expecting their pastor to do what their friends should do for them. And that's where there's a problem. So, if you are sick and you call me as your pastor, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to declare God's word over you. And if I have some time in my hand, I will say, let us pray together. We can just pray for 30 minutes or 1 hour. And I say, God bless you. But you want me to be praying with you every day for like 2 hours till your health corrects. And what came that time? Not because I don't value you, but that's not my job. And if I attempt to do that, I will rob every other person in church. Are you what I'm talking about? So they expect from their friends, from their pastor, what their friends should do for them. What their company of friends should be. You should have good friends. Your pastor won't do everything for you. I took time on Sunday and on Thursday to explain to you why you need a pastor, right? So I'm not talking about the pastoral ministry. I'm a pastor myself. But I'm saying, not everything. Not everything. If you're going through a challenge in your marriage, on your relationship, stay accountable. Tell your pastor about it. We're going to declare words for you. Give you counsels. But there are certain battles. I've always shared this story. One of my people here, the family was going through a certain battle at a time. It was so bad. That was 2019 or so. When she came to me, I said, I prayed for her and encouraged her. I said, you go pray for her. Go. She took her friends. She took her friends. About two of them or so. And they went to her village. Nobody was around. They went there. They camped in that village for 3 days. Praying in the village and dealing with things throughout the 3 days. I'm not going to do that for you as a pastor. If I do that for you as a pastor, you're going to spend a lot. Not because I'm going to ask you for money, but then, come on, your pastor is coming. I get to the point. You might start looking for a hotel where you keep him for 3 days. Start looking for food. But you see if he's a friend. I get what I'm saying. If you guys are even five of you can stay in one room. One hotel room. Pay 25K in the hotel. Yeah. No, 5 of you will not pay. Only 2 people will pay. The other people will now sneak in at different times. You don't know what I'm saying. I leave it. Praise God. So there are things that your pastor should do. There are things your mentor should do for you. I'll talk about that on Sunday. There are things your disciples should do for you. But there are things that friends should do for you. Friends that will pray with you. Say, let us pray. You pray like that. So let me quickly rush through this to maximize this help as called friends, this company. I have a long list of about 6 or 7 things, so I'm not going to explain. I'll just rush through it. When I come back to this, I'm going to explain them just like I did on Thursday. So the first thing you need to do, you must choose the right company. It starts from there. Choose the right company. And you know, this includes choosing the right friends, choosing the right spouse, because one person that must be all these things I met, all these lists I gave you, must be your spouse. One person that must be all this must be your spouse or the person you intend getting married to. You can't be in a relationship with someone who is not everything I gave you. Person must be a growing believer, must serve the Lord with you, must have the right value system, must care about your spiritual growth, must be sincere with you, must stick with you in difficult times and celebrate you in times of victory, and must pray with you. Your spouse must be all of this. So you must choose the right spouse. You must choose the right friends. That's where it starts from. Evil communication, the Bible said, corrupts good manners. So choose the right friends. Do not let, now this is very serious, do not let circumstances choose your friends for you. Do you know what I said? Circumstances can bring people your way, but they mustn't be the one that will choose your friends. Things, being roommates can bring us together, but it doesn't mean that we must be friends. Being classmates can bring us together. Being church mates can bring us together. Writing an exam can bring us together. Now, that circumstance. But don't let it be the one that will make the final choice. What do I mean by that? When circumstances bring people around you, now sit down and sieve them and see if they can be your friends. Are you following what I'm saying now? See if they can be your friends. That's why when people build friendship out of hearts, you're heartbroken. You now meet other 2 people that are heartbroken. 3 of you now join together as 3 heartbroken people. That shouldn't be the basis for friendship. Look at this list I gave you. Choose the right company. Number 2, be accountable to that company to the level where it is necessary. Of course, that's the reason I added that. That's the level of accountability that you owe to your pastor and spiritual leader alone. And then if I will add to your spouse. That's what I say, to the level it is necessary. Because the fact that people are in your company is not everything you can tell everybody. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. So be accountable to the level it is necessary. If you want them to pray for you, let them know. And what they're going to, let them pray for you. Number next, be open to correction in the friendship. Be open to correction in that friendship. If you have a friendship where you're not open to their correction, then you've already shut down something. Remember I told you, you must have friends that will call you out when you are wrong. But if every time they call you out when you are wrong, you pick offense, you're actually not using that friendship well. Because once you keep picking offense, people call out when you are wrong, the gradual thing they will do is that they will stop. I get what I'm saying? They'll stop talking to you about it. Do you have friends in your life that no matter what they do, you will not tell them anything? Because you already know what they will do when you tell them. They will pick offense and start fighting. Let me tell you something. If you trust your friend, you know this person means well for you. When they correct you, listen to it. Even if they're not entirely correct, even if they don't have the whole picture, that's the reason they're saying what they're saying. Just listen to what they have to say. I get what I'm saying now. Hear what they want to say. Of course, I've taught you that you don't speak to a friend like he's your son or he's your enemy. You don't tell a friend, "You are wrong. I will tell you to your face." Mm-mm. The person will fight you. So that's a way to correct. But let me even add, even if your friend is not getting the mode of correction right, sometimes don't pay so much attention to how you are corrected. Pay attention to why you are corrected. Are you following the point? Because most of us focus on how. Why will he talk to me like that? Why did he put it like that? Now, you as a friend should know how to put it. You should put it right. But I'm saying, even when it doesn't come out right from your friend, focus on why. The question is, why did he say this? What did I do that led to this correction? So let me assume you've been missing church for like 3 weeks. And your friend calls you. And say, "You see this church you are missing? You are getting it wrong. And I will tell you because I'm your friend. Now, that's a wrong way to talk to you. You might pick offense. But after you pick offense, listen, why were you spoken to? Does it even make sense that I'm missing church? Are you following me, friends? So let's focus on the why and not on the how. Now, you as a friend should work on your how. Are you getting what I'm saying now? But then when they correct you, focus on the why. So that's why the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. For instance, your friend should not call you out in the open. It's a no-no. You don't call out your friend in the open. Are you getting the point? You don't call out your spouse, your husband in the open. You can never see me no matter what. And then in front of people, I'm correcting mom. Hey, don't do that again. I can never do that. That is how. But then, even if for any reason your friend gets the how wrong, after you vex for the how, please listen to the why. I get what I'm saying now. Why were you corrected? Be open to correction. Everything is not picking offense. They just tell you why you're doing this. Just some of you cannot be corrected. You can't be. You just know. You know too much. Nobody can correct you. You're not a good friend. And do you know the thing about people that can never be corrected? Tell me one thing you know about them. You don't know. I'll tell you. They are always quick to correct others. People that hate being corrected, they will correct you. Because they always feel they are logical thinkers. Because me, I know what I'm saying. So you know what you are saying now? We don't know what you are saying. Next. Protect the friendship. Protect that friendship. Protect it. Many things will come against. I will talk about protecting friend relationship generally later. You must protect your relationship with your pastor. You must protect your relationship with your friends. Many things will come against your friendship. Many things. Any set of people that have been friends for 10 years have overlooked many things for 10 years, forgiven many things for 10 years, tolerated many things for 10 years. Talking about marriage, I'll make this statement a few times. You fall in love by looking. You stay in love by overlooking. You hear what I said? You fall in love by looking. You stay in love by overlooking. There are things you must overlook just to protect what you have going. You fall in love by saying, "Oh boy, see fine girl." You just, I love how she talks. I like how she breathes. If you're going to stay in that relationship, then that means you will just see and close your eyes and let it pass. You must protect the friendship. There are people that are so much in a hurry to end friendships. Don't ever talk to me again. This is the end. We have crossed the line. A friendship that is everything I mentioned earlier will also hurt you in the process. Don't be quick to burn bridges. Protect friendships. I make bold to say that the two people and then an extra person that became my friend after I got saved have remained my friend till now. I've had the same set of friends for over 20 years. Same set. I make bold to say, you cannot, if you are in my life 15 years ago, you are listening to 15 years ago, and you're listening to me now. It's the same friends that I still have, that I still talk about. Same friends. That doesn't mean there have not been issues, so there have been issues. But protect the friendship. I get the point. Focus on what the friendship is offering you more than whatever that is going wrong. Because why friendships break up, sometimes it can be so trivial. You wore my shoe. You spoke to me in a way I don't like. Those things are, but then after you get angry, friendship should continue. You know, there are some friends I know, they've gone past apology. Now what I mean is, they will fight. After they fight, they start talking again. Nobody has to apologize to anybody. After they fight on Monday, on Tuesday they will say, I'm going to church. Come, let's go together. Everybody's fine. They've apologized. Do you understand? But some friends actually need the apology. So what if my friend is acting like that? I need apology. It's very simple. Somebody told me the husband was behaving like that. This man finished getting me angry. And the next time you come to me and I say, let's go to so-so place. And I'm still angry. I say, it's not hard. He said, what do you do? He said, ask him to apologize to you. He said, how? I said, once he just picks you up, you now you show up. Oh. I'm talking to you. He said, you are not talking to me. Have you told me sorry about what you did yesterday? The person will say, ah, is he sorry? Oh, yeah, sorry. And you're fine. Because for a man or a woman to say, oh, yeah, let's go out, it means the person wants to let go of the matter. For you, you're not that simple. You are not that simple. Ah, you see me carrying face. They buy you shawarma, you eat it, you see me carrying long face. They buy you fish, you eat it, you see me carrying long face. What's wrong with you? The bone will choke you. That fish bone will choke you. If they buy you, they buy you eat. They accept the sorry. Protect the friendship. Two more things. Recognize the hand of God upon your friends. I wish I had more time to talk about this. Recognize that God's hand is also present. Many people lose out of many things because there are many, you know, your friend, who the person that is your friend today is a man of God to someone else. How do I put it? Your friend today is a mentor to someone else. So the fact that both of you are friends doesn't mean there is no grace that person carries. Recognize the grace of God upon your friend. There are certain things that some of you are looking for, waiting to meet pastor for. That your friend is specially graced. You've observed that he's graced to do it. If you have a friend and you find out that this is my friend, explains Bible a bit better than me, and the verse is confusing, feel free to tell your friend, help me explain this. I get the point. That's what you must deal with your pride. Help me explain this. Because they say, oh, wow, wow, wow. That made sense. Simple. I've hosted my friend. I host my friends to preach for me. Pastor Casey was here in Zoe 2016. He was here even last 3 years. I host my friends to preach for me. And when they preach for me, I honor them. Keep them in good hotels. Give them good honorarium. Honor them as I should. Much as we can. What we can at the time. And when they preach for me again, we preach for ourselves. Why? Because we recognize the hand of God upon our lives. I get what I'm saying now. Your friends are anointed too. Whatever you think God is doing with them, recognize it. Benefit from it if you must. I get what I'm saying now. Benefit from it if you must. Check almost all the fathers of faith in this nation. All of them are friends. And all of them preach for each other. All of them honor each other as friends. But you, your friend is nothing. You've seen your friend finish. Have no regard. If you know your friend has a stronger prayer life than you, ask him to help you. Say, see, sir, this is your prayer life. I like it. So you know what? Can we please be praying every day? Anything you want to pray, wake me up. Let's pray to God over the phone. That's recognize that the hand of God upon your friend. Are you following what I'm saying? So you find out that thing you're waiting for a pastor to give you a regimen or to monitor you for. Your friend can just stand by you and you guys sort that prayerless or weak prayer life out. You'll be fine. Some of you know that your friends are anointed to heal the sick. You've gone out to them on evangelism. You've seen them pray for the sick and all of that. And then you are very sick around them. You've declared it's not working. Tell your friend, I beg, I need prayer. You say, I hate it. You say, no, pray. Don't. This one is not pali pelical. Please pray for me. Now, the problem is that many people don't know how friendship works. But some people, once you treat them like this, they begin to treat you as their mentee. You know what I'm saying now? Once they pray for me, after they pray for you and you get healed, they now expect you to be greeting them, good morning, sir. No. It's just friendship. You know what I'm saying now? It's friendship. There's also something that you are good at. That the person, maybe you guys are students. Some of you are good in math, other person is good in English. Teach yourselves. That's what I'm saying. Maximize the grace. I told that how my pastor got his very first car was that God told him to buy car wash and use the car wash detergent to wash his friend's car. That was how he got his first car. After that act of obedience, by the next week, somebody gave him a car. No, by that same week, his friend, though, not his enemy, that's not his spiritual father. I feel what I'm saying. Recognize. Let me tell you, in this circle, you might observe that one of your friends is doing better financially. Because all of us will all pick up at the same time. Someone will go first. Feel free to meet your friend and say, guy, what's up now? What's happening? Show me. Show me. Okay, apart from this one, tell them that you are doing your prayer life. Just find out. You know that there's a hand of God that's going to go upon your friends. The final thing I'm going to say, have meaningful times with your friends. And I'll talk about three major meaningful times. One, meaningful prayer times. Two, meaningful conversations. Three, meaningful ministry times. I'll explain that further. Meaningful prayer times, I mean, if you have a friend, you have a group of friends, and you don't ever pray with them, you are not serious. Friends must pray together. Not only watch movies together. Not watch match together all the time. Not discuss business together. They must pray together. Ask for they prayed together. They went to their company and they prayed. So you must have meaningful prayer time, for instance. You must have meaningful conversations. You see, this one is so important because God speaks in conversations. Are you aware? If you have meaningful conversations with each other, it may be about ministry, it may be about life, it may be about business. You will find out that you will have many directions as you converse with friends. Let me tell you why. You carry the Holy Ghost. Your friends also carry the Holy Ghost. So when you guys are conversing about business and three of you talking are spirit-filled, many things that will come out from their tongue will be prophecies. They may not know. That's why if I converse with my friends, I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. Because there are many things that they will say. They don't know they have answered the question that's been in my heart. And I have sincere friends. There are things I can say now. You know, I'm talking about grace upon your friends. Do you know my friend, Pastor Casey, for instance, almost all our books in this place is compulsory for their leaders to read. Almost all. I get to the point. Sometimes I've had to call him. In fact, recently he called me. He said, hey, that your book. I think it was Caruso or so. I've had to call him on those such calls too. So that your book, Caruso. I want to do a teaching. Send me the soft copy. It's not pride. It doesn't mean I'm not bigger than him. I get what I'm saying. Doesn't mean I'm anointed at him. Just means I did something that is good. And I did this thing with a friend. I called a friend or one of these guys, you know, a pastor. I thought we were friends. Okay, we're friends. I called him. I said, "This is your book I saw. And I loved what you did there. Send it to me." And he began to feel somehow. He began to feel maybe he's Dr. Mokwai. But it wasn't a problem for me anyway. It's what I do. I have all Pastor Casey's books. He has all my books. And I read them. He reads mine. I get what I'm saying now. It doesn't mean anybody's bigger or better than anybody. And that's why I say, when I converse with such people, you see answers that you see things. You say, sometimes as they're talking about what they're doing in their own life, you're getting ideas about what you do in your own life. Have meaningful times of prayer. Meaningful times of conversation. I have meaningful ministry times together. Minister together. Go on outreaches together. Sing together. Reach out to people together. That way you will get the best out of your friendships. I close by saying to you, God has brought people into your life to help your joy, to help you on this journey. If you maximize those opportunities and those friendships well, you have a very solid Christian life. I found out that people that are strong in their walk with God are strong because they also have a strong company around them. People that are weak, the same thing. I've said it many times that I've observed that almost all the pastors, the big pastors in this country, for instance, when I look at all their stories, almost all of them, we are friends as young people. It's not coincidental that they got to where they got. It's not. I get what I'm saying. When you hear Dr. Mark White share stories of how they were smuggling Bible to China, he did those things with people like Bishop Paul Nwachukwu of Grace of God. As young people, they were in their 30s and 40s, they would just gather money. Take the Bible to China was wrong then. They would just pack the Bible in bag, buy it with their money, and get and carry it to China. Take the risk. One time they were at the Chinese border, and they were supposed to test. They were supposed to put their bags full with Bible on a machine to check if they had any contraband. And the Bible was contraband. Said he was there with some of the Nigerian friends and another white guy that was his friend too. And the white guy told him, that white guy is bold, fearless. He was a man of God, fearless like that. And the guy said, don't worry, if they catch us, if they put us in prison, government will come for us. And Dr. Omar told him, he said, my government will not come for me. And as they were there trying to get into China, they just felt they should start praying in tongues. They began to pray in tongues. Real life testimony. Shabarakate barakat. And they prayed in tongues, and the Lord told him, say, raise a song. I raised the song. Tuwaraya mama. Right there. They put the bag on the machine. The machine stopped working. They brought it down, put it back, it stopped working. The guy asked them, are you a native doctor? They said, I'm bigger than a native doctor. Dr. Ma told them. They said, carry a while and go. I carried this Bible and passed. This is what young people were doing as friends. Not as adults. So in their text and forth, that's what they were doing these things. Now, what risk can you take with your friends for the Lord? You only need to go and say, I finished two bottles. You finish one bottle. Ah, let's know who can finish one crate. You see why? If you can finish three wraps of akpo, it's a me. That's the competition people are doing. God will help you. Let's stand to our feet. I have two questions for you. Do you have the right friends? If you don't have, are you trusting God to bring the right people into your life? Just pray a simple prayer wherever this message meets you. Some of you need to pray and say to the Lord, help me. Some of you, help me maximize the right people that you have brought into my life. Some of you need to pray and say, Father, help me to get the right people in my circle. Have 1 minute and pray that prayer and I'll close. Wherever this message meets you, pray. God has brought people. Some of you need to pray and say to the Lord, help me recognize when you bring the right people my way. Lift your voice and pray. Don't stop. Just have 1 minute. Help me recognize. Some people that traveled far and you cut off from all your old friends. That's why your spiritual life is going the way it is going. That's why it's going the way it is going. Because you have people with the wrong value system around you. Ask the Lord to help. Some of you need to make some correction after this meeting. You need to cut off some friends. You need to strengthen some friendships. You need to strengthen some friendships. You need to get some things right. Some of you need to get back to friendships you've left. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Say with me, say, I'm committed. Shout it. To my spiritual growth. Say, I'm giving my best to it. I will get better in the word. I will get better with the spirit. I will get better with ministry. Say, my life must count for Jesus. Say, the men that God has brought my way, I will maximize them well. I will maximize them well. I will last in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here for a short run. I'm here for the long run. I will serve Jesus all my life. And God is bringing men my way that will help me make sure I achieve that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. We will get better. We will get stronger. Help us adjust what we need to adjust. And get it out of unity.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.